Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for another wonderful night. And thank you for this wonderful day we had up in the 70s, sun shining. And it was wonderful. I praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all the people that you're setting free, glory to God. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be special, because I know you're going to be leading us. And we praise you for this open heaven that we have, and that every prayer that is prayed tonight will be answered, because we all are hooking our faith together to believe, Lord, that when we pray in faith, and we all do, it's answered. And we're going to get it. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the people that come on tonight. Bless them, Lord, with no problems with their communication. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night with you. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing to our minds and our memories the testimonies that we have and the prayers that we need to pray and the words that we need to share. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Any prayer requests? I got one. Y'all believe with me, okay? I'm going to lift up my grandson, Blake, to you, Lord. And I ask that you just flood him with your love. Flood him so much so, Lord, that he won't want to turn back away from you. And it'll break him from being himself. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, for delivering him from all the things that I've been praying. And I thank you, Lord, that my grandson, Blake, is coming into the kingdom in a mighty way, broken, with his eyes just on you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing Blake into this kingdom, like you showed me so many years ago, that he gets excited every time he hears the name Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. He's had a hard life, Lord. I know a lot of it's been on him, but still his early life was pretty tumultuous. And we ask, Lord, that you do that for Blake. Grant repentance to him and bring him in, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Rhiannon and Claire, one of you.
Hello, everyone. I think a few months ago, I mentioned that I had the opportunity to witness to a lady called Jess, and I gave her the Sovereign God book, one for her and one for her husband. And then they were really blessed by it, and I also gave them God's vaccine. And I don't see her often, and I'm not really, you know, in communication a whole bunch, but I did see her this week. And her husband's actually been stood down because he won't take the vaccine. And he works for a organization called Scripture Union. I'm not sure if that's, you know, what that is in America. But yeah, so he actually goes into schools, and he goes to a lot of schools and tries to evangelize to the children and whatever Scripture Union does. I don't really know all of that. But he's been stood down. And even though he gets a little bit of money from Scripture Union, most of it comes from the state, and no state school and no Christian school will have him on the grounds next year, because our schools end now in December, and then we go back in February. So all of that to say, I'm going to lift him up in prayer. And if you can all agree with me, thank you, Lord, for every trial and every tribulation that is tailor-made to grow Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, I I lift Barry and Jess up to you now, Lord. And I thank you for giving them such grace. And Father, I thank you for putting them in the place where they can only now rely on you. Father, I pray supernatural protection over them. I pray that you would draw them closer and closer to your word, to what is true. I pray that you would, that your Holy Spirit, Father, would show them what it means to be the true light, and that it means that we look different to the rest of the world. And Father, I pray that you would give them an unshakable faith in your provision, in your protection, in your care, and in your love. And I pray that for everyone who's going through this terrible vaccine mandate, job loss trial. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for exposing what this jab really is. The word is getting out, Lord, and people are rising up all over the world against it, these mandates, against this poison that you're putting in people. And Father, we thank you for exposing it, shutting it down, and putting the people in prison that have mandated these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, maybe grant repentance to them. Let them come into the kingdom. We ask that in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bless them with salvation. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Missy. Go ahead, Missy.
My mom sent me an email saying that, I don't know if anybody else heard this, but the CDC is talking about either restricting or totally taking, not allowing Johnson & Johnson anymore because of the bad, severe, whatever, side effects. So I'd like to pray about that. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that they're put under heavy pressure to just totally discontinue it, and not just if they do it with that one, they're going to have to do it with the other ones because the other ones have just as bad a reputation for effects. So we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for this, and just send forth your angels and convict the hearts and bring the truth out. Quickly, Lord, that this whole mandate and this whole just the vaccine in general be done away with, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Bring it down, Lord. Bring it down. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I just wanted to pray. Father, would you thank you, Lord, for your truth, your illumination. Thank you that you have delivered us from the power of the darkness of this world, and that you have translated us into your kingdom of light. Father, we thank you for the light that you have given us and the light that you're shedding upon the rest of the world. And people are raising, you're raising the awareness of people all over the world as to the contents of these vaccines and the stealing of people's individual rights. So I thank you for that, Lord. I just pray that you would open up the eyes of, I bind those spirits that are motivating those people of Scripture Union. Obviously, if it's called Scripture Union, they have to be Christian, I would suspect. And Lord, I would, I just bind those spirits of darkness that are binding their minds, and that you would open up the eyes of the leadership to start to question some of their position or their reasoning for this vaccination mandate, whatever whether it's a desire to be submissive to government or whatever it would be, Lord, I pray that you would open up their eyes to see the truth and the reality and the battle and the war that we're in. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you're able to dismantle that darkness and scatter that darkness by even one truth. So I thank you for that, Lord. I pray that you would give Barry and Jessica, I believe, strength through this time to stand and to be, take the position that you want them to take and to be the that light and that causation of setback or pushback that Scripture Union would see and start to think about and realize and wonder if they're doing the right thing or not. So, Lord, we just thank you for dismantling this system. We thank you for honoring our prayers. And we just love you and we trust you, Lord, for this time that you brought us in as a testing ground and a strengthening of our faith. Strengthening of our faith to stand with you in your word. So we just trust you for the results in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Testimony, prayer request. Hey, Missy, or anything else like that would be fine. Go ahead, Missy.
Talking about this whole jab thing. The other day I was talking to my mom. I think it was Tuesday. No, I don't know. Emailed her or whatever. I forget when it was. Anyway, I was talking to her on the phone and she mentioned that my dad was going to get the booster shot. And I said to her, well, before he said that he wasn't going to get it, what, you know, she said, well, I forget what he said. It doesn't matter. It's just, he was believing a lie that he was hearing. And that basically that it's important for people to continue to get these shots. Anyway, and I said to him, I said to my mom, I said, is he nearby? I said, I'd like to talk to him. So she put him on and the gist of it is I gave him the lowdown on it. And I told him how bad it was and how it was killing people and everything. And I said, Dad, I love you. And I don't want, you know, I'm telling you the truth. I said, I forget what all I said to him. I mean, I was pretty emphatic about it, you know, and my mom, she came back on and she was kind of curt with me. She didn't like that I was, you know, I guess really being emphatic with him about it, you know, and I, you know, said, please don't take this, Dad. I said, I'm telling you the truth. I said, I've heard so much about this anyway. And so she was kind of a little curt with me. And so later I was getting ready to get a shower. And the Lord told me to look at my email. My mom had emailed me and she said, you know, that she was sorry for speaking up. And she was saying about how my dad, you know, doesn't understand a lot of things. And she just tries to not put too much pressure on him about stuff and tells him, you know, gives him information or whatever and lets him make his own decision, you know, and whatever. And that he gets confused and doesn't understand lots of times what people are telling him and what, you know, her conversation with him and stuff. conversations and trying to explain things to him. And so then I emailed her back, and you know, I really thought about it, and was, and I like deleted some, you know, one particular thing out that I felt like the Lord wanted me to delete out, and I apologized. I said, I told my mom, no problem, you know, I wasn't bothered, you know, that she was a little curt with me or whatever. And and I told my dad, I said, I'm sorry if I upset you or confused you or anything like that. I said that, yeah, I just want you to be protected. And I said, but above all else, I said, believe the Lord to protect you and keep you healthy. And what came to my mind was trust in the Lord with all your heart, you know, all those verses there in Proverbs. And so I sent that to my mom. And then after a little while, I saw that she emailed me back, and she told me, I'm trying to remember, there's some pretty interesting pieces. I don't know if I can remember all of it without looking at the email, but she said, cut and dry of it was, the gist of it is she, he decided that he wasn't going to take the jab, the third booster, whatever. And she said, she says, I guess the Lord knew he needed to hear that, you know, what I had to say, because he, you know, and all. And then, I said, then a little later, she sends me an email saying about, this news article from this conservative, Christian, website, conservative news or whatever, had an article in there about, Dr. Peter McCullough and being a cardiologist and telling some of the really bad side effects and stuff like that and all. And I was like, oh, praise you, Lord. It was just confirming to them what I had told them. And my mom still is not, you know, she still is, because she said something today in an email, she's still kind of a little, not understanding things and still believing things, you know, or whatever. But, you know, it's just like, I can see a big difference in my mom and dad and especially my mom in the past year, you know, but I just keep praying and knowing that the Lord's going to restore things and you know, just in general, her mind, let's put this way, isn't what it used to be. I don't want to speak any curses, Lord. I know you're going to do a work of restoration and all, but I just bless them and bless you, Lord, for the work that you're doing. And I want you all to agree with me. You know, in the name of Jesus, I forbid the enemy to come back and confuse my dad and change his mind and him say, turn around and say that he's going to get this in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you gave him the ability to understand what I was telling him so that he could change his mind. And I just praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that he's not going to change his mind again. And I just praise you, Lord. For that's I told my sister that earlier. I was talking to her and she's like, thank God. She's like, yay. And I told her that dad wasn't gonna take it. And you know, it was funny that last night, I think it was, I was sitting thinking about it all, and the Lord reminded me that my conversation with my dad when my mom had gone into the hospital because she was having problems breathing and all, and I was talking to him and praying with him and you know, told him to imagine mom, you know, coming through the door and you's hugging and, you know, dad and you and mom and Jesus all hugging and everything. And it was just like the Lord just showed me, because of that, my prayer with him and taking time and explaining to him and just really encouraging him and all, he knows my heart, that my dad knows my heart, and he knows, he just believed me. And I just praise the Lord that, you know, because at first, you know, I was kind of feeling condemned that, you know, like I was in my flesh when I was, telling my dad all this stuff and everything. And I was just pouring out my heart to him, and it was the Lord's heart, you know, too, you know, and I just thank the Lord that he spoke through me, that he did that. So I just thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord's good.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Amen. Okay, Lana or Theo.
I just wanted to share a quick praise report. I was backing up my photos from my phone the other night, and the next day discovered that for the month of July, I thought I had backed them up and everything had gone well, and I had deleted them, since I was confident that part was done, only to discover that it was not there. And I was kind of bummed, and I was kind of like, well, it's not that many photos, just phone photos, no biggie. But I still prayed. I said, Lord, I want those photos back. So I think I commanded them to come back and just left it alone and continue to upload the rest. And then at the end, I decided to go back and kind of mess with the system a little bit to test something out, and decided to check on July again in my phone, and discovered that all the photos were there. So I'm praising the Lord that he put them back there, and I backed them up this time around, and we're good to go. So he heard our prayers and backed them up.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You go, Gabe. Scream it out, brother. All right, anybody else? Is that you, Geneva?
Oh, it is I. I think Rion here were first.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. All righty. I just wanted to ask for prayer for one of my hospice patients that I go and see. Usually most of my patients are kind of like, they're not totally cognitive, or like when I go in there, they're like in a deep sleep. And I always say a prayer for them. I always pray that the Lord, you know, if it's not their time to go or whatever, that God visits them and that they have a chance to ask for repentance. And I went to go see this lady. Her name's Linda, and my boss was wanting me to have the conversation with her about being a DNR, which is a do not resuscitate, because most hospice patients are DNRs, but she's a full code. And so usually, you know what that means is like they'll do whatever they can to try to keep you alive. And usually that means like the ribs get broke and all kinds of things, and, you know, they could go to a hospital and stuff. But she was wanting me to basically try to convince her. And I, you know, honestly, spiritually, I don't feel comfortable with pushing somebody one way, you know, because I feel like that's in the Lord's hands. And when the Lord's ready to take that person, he's going to take them. And, you know, if there's something in that person's life that they feel like, you know, they're not ready to go yet, you know, or whatever, like, I'm not going to tell them, like, well, make yourself a DNR. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't touch on, because I just trust in the Lord, and I just don't feel like that's my place. I went in there, and I feel so bad for this lady, because she's I don't know the exact diagnosis, but she's like has these terrible compulsions where her body, like, she breathes so hard, and she's cognitive, like she's with it, but her chest is like, it lifts her off the bed almost, and she's like up, down, up, down, up, down, and like her whole body shakes, and it's kind of painful to watch. And she's really actually kind of young. Like, I mean, she's like, I think late 60s, you know, most of our patients are like 90 and up. And, you know, last time I was there, I prayed with her and stuff. And then this time when I was there, she's just so depressed and she's not eating and things. And she says she doesn't want to die. She wants to stay at full code. But at the same time, she's like, I don't know how I feel. She's like, I'm just so sad. She's like, I feel like God has just like left me. And I told her, I was like, you know, that's not true. I was like, listen, I was like, I don't know if you have anything in your life that you want to repent of. I was like, but if you feel that you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, do that. I was like, let's do that. I was like, and let's trust and believe that God is merciful and his grace is sufficient, and that, you know, he bore our sins on that cross. I was like, and that, you know, you can be set free. I was like, and God can heal you from all this pain that you're in, and it can make you so comfortable and, you know, give you the peace that you need and bring you happiness. And I feel so bad for her, because like her husband, I think, is really kind of older, and he has a hard time getting down there because he doesn't have rides too often, and she doesn't really have much family. She doesn't have any kids. So she's just by herself in this dark little room, doesn't turn on the TV or anything. And I tell you too, it really makes me realize, like, man, Jesus, like, thank you so much for just everything you've given me. Like, gosh, life could be so, so much worse. And we are so, so like blessed and just thankful for health and for, you know, everything. He's just everything, you know? Because I'm so quick to complain sometimes, but it's like, I see stuff like this and I'm like, gosh, life is really, really precious. And anyways, I was just talking to her. Sorry, I don't mean to make this so long. And we said a prayer, and you know, I prayed that if there was anything in her heart, the Lord forgive her. And you know, she didn't say anything or whatever, but she was holding my hand real tight, and we were praying. And I told her too, I said, you know, basically I told her, I was like, let's believe that the Lord's gonna make you comfortable and things. And so when I got done, I told her, you know, I was like, so the thing is, I was like, when you pray and you have faith, I was like, you got to believe. And she was like, well, the devil keeps attacking me. He keeps attacking these thoughts. And I was like, and that's what he's going to do. I was like, but, you know, I was like, our God is stronger. And I told her, I was like, you want me to come in here and just sit down with you and read some Bible? And she didn't really like say yes or no. She was just kind of like, she has a hard time talking too. It's kind of hard for her to like get stuff out, because just all that stuff she's going through physically. So anyways, I just, you know, kind of held her hand for a while and things. And she like, I told her I need to go use the bathroom. And then she was like, no, please don't go. Don't go. And I'm like, oh man. So I was just like, I went out to the hallway for a second. I just prayed. I was like, Lord, I don't know. I'm going to leave this in your hands, because I don't know what to do. But my heart's just kind of like, my heartstrings are being pulled for this lady, because she's in such a terrible situation. And, God, I want to see your healing. Like, and you know, I guess I want you all to pray for her, and pray for me, that I kind of like, I know how to go about it, because I told her I'm going to see her again, you know. And two, I want to make sure I'm not like doing anything out of order here, like, you know, overstepping boundaries or anything of that sort. Like, I want to just be totally led by the Spirit, led by the Lord. On the plus side, I did get music therapy in there, so I have somebody coming in there and playing the guitar for her. And then I got a pet therapy, so I have a little person bringing in a doggy. I don't know, just things like kind of make her happy or whatever, you know, so she doesn't feel so on her own. But I'm very thankful for this job, and I know the Lord has blessed me with this job, especially with me being pregnant, because the hours are just so great that, like, if I ever just need to go home or something, I can just up and do that. So anyways, I just want to pray for Linda and her situation. So if you all will believe with me. Dear mm-hmm. Father, thank you for all things, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us every day, God, and just waking us up in the morning. And Lord, let our thoughts, our first thought when we wake up, be about you. And Jesus, just be with this woman, Father. Ask, Lord, that you, God, visit her, Lord, in that room. And Father, send your angels around her, Jesus. Let her hear from you. Let her see you, Jesus, God. Lord, let her see what you did for her on that cross, God. And that, Lord, regardless of hospice, regardless of all this stuff that these doctors and pharmakia and everything that they try to say, Jesus, let her know, God, that your word is more powerful, and your word, God, alone is enough, Jesus. What you did on that cross is enough. And Father, I just ask, God, that, Lord, you make this woman comfortable, and that medicine, Jesus, or where they have her on, Lord, that it doesn't, that God, it could be affecting her in this way, Jesus. Lord, I ask, Father, that it just stops, and that her comfort comes from you, Lord. And God, make her happy, Jesus. Take away this depression, this depressive spirit, and all these psychiatric diagnoses that they put on her, Lord. I ask, Father, that you give this woman faith, Lord, to believe that stuff is gone. And Jesus, if there's any unforgiveness in her heart, Lord, or things that she's done in her past, Father, I ask, Lord, that you show her, so that way she can know how to repent, and that she can come to you. And Lord, I ask that you just use me and help me to always be led by your spirit with her and with all these patients, God. And I thank you, Lord, that I get to do your work, and that, God, you have me in this setting. And Lord, I'm honored, and I just pray that you lead me. And Jesus, I just thank you, God. I thank you for what you're going to do. And I know there's going to be a testimony from this. And let her not feel pressured by all these doctors and these nurses and things that are trying to make her go one way or the other, Lord. Let her hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You mind if I pray for
her? Yes, please.
You do?
No, please pray for her. That's not what I meant.
Okay, let's do this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. That goes for Linda, too. And in the name of Jesus right now, I cast down every curse that's been spoken against her by the pharmakia there in that place. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of Satan off of her right now. In the name of Jesus, I cast that spirit of infirmity off of her right now. I command you, by the power and the blood of Jesus, to leave her right now in Jesus' mighty name. I command that body to calm down right now in Jesus' name. Body, behold, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that you're doing this mighty work in Linda right now in Jesus' name. And she knows it's you, Lord. I thank you for the power that's going through her body right now in Jesus' name. It's healing her, clarifying her blood, purifying her blood, and fixing everything that the devil has tried to steal from her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that when Geneva goes in there, she's not going to see with her natural eyes. She's going to see with her spiritual eyes that she is healed, delivered, and set free. And go in there with joy of the Lord all over her. And I praise you, Father, for doing this for Linda in Jesus' mighty name. Linda, come up out of that bed of affliction right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing this for Linda. In the name of Jesus, amen. Y'all believe that? Glory to God, glory to God. We just praise you, Father, for the testimony that we're going to get back from Linda. In fact, I'd like to hear it from herself in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Ooh, my. Okay, who's first? Go ahead, Rayon. Or Claire.
It's me. Sorry to disappoint.
Okay. No, that's fine.
I would like some prayer, please. Missy's testimony is so amazing. And I have like an almost opposite testimony in that I think I did all the things, and not out of works, but out of obedience and faith to help my parents along in this non-jab journey. And I really believed for them, and but they've lied to me. And that just makes me feel like, I mean, it's not the only time or the first time. This is a recurring thing with my family, so I don't know why it has upset me so, but it's just that they've lied about their status and continued to lie by omission. And so can we lift them up in prayer that there will be no ill effects on them, despite the fact that they text me and tell me they don't feel well, which is very difficult then to, you're like, oh, I told you so. So just to respond in love and to respond in grace. And please pray for me to not shrink back because of their, do you know what I mean? Like just, yeah, like to not hold it against them. They can only do what they can do. They can only do what God allows their hearts to do. And I am not the same. I am changed. So it shouldn't stick to me anymore. It shouldn't have any, whatever they do should not affect me anymore. And that I just want to have perfect love when I speak to them and think of them. So if someone could pray for me, that'd be great.
I mean, Claire, just remember, you're dead meat, girl. You're dead to the world. But you are Christ. You got Christ all over you, girl. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you for doing this for Claire, putting peace in her heart, joy in her heart, because she's right. They don't know any better. They have a fear of man rather than a fear of God. And we thank you, Father, for turning that around for her family. You've given us family salvation, household salvation. And we thank you, Father, that her prayers will be answered at some point in time. And we praise you for it, Father, that she now looks at them in that light. I'm seeing Christ in them. Praise God. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, give her strength. Give Claire strength and wisdom and discernment to minister to those family members. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And power.
I'd like to pray as well. Lord, we lift up Stephen and Geraldine to you, Father, and we forgive them for not telling us the truth and for admitting their status to us, Lord. And we just clear the air here now in the name of Jesus with complete forgiveness, Father. And I realize now that because we have been under the impression that they have not taken the jab, we have not prayed against the ill effects of it because it was not necessary. So they're ignorant of this fact, Father, of the power that you have given us. And we have prayed for them before, and we stand on that truth, Lord, that you hear our prayers and that their names are in that bowl, and that you are bringing Christ in them. We stand on that, Father. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I command all ill effects of that vaccine off Stephen and Geraldine, Father, because there's no unforgiveness here, Lord. We love them and we care for them tremendously. We know you do too. And we thank you, Father, that the shots that they got were saline and were nothing. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing them the truth of and not receiving any more booster shots year after. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We believe with you. There's a lot of doctors doing that, by the way. They're putting saline in there to give them the okay, you know. Or here they are. I'm sure they're doing it elsewhere, too, once they find out what they're putting in them. Did you want to pray with Claire and Rion, Missy, is that why you got your hair? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Father, for this situation, because you say in everything, give thanks. And so help Claire, especially, to give you thanks for this, Lord, because everything comes from you, and there's nothing that doesn't happen that you don't use. And we just praise you and thank you that you are going to turn this around, that, Lord, you're going to get Claire's parents' attention, and they're going to repent. And I just, Lord, I believe, Lord, that you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, Lord, and you're going to turn this around for true repentance and salvation to Claire's parents, Lord, and that you're going to use this to bring them on in you, Lord, that they're going to have a revelation of you being their provider, their protector, their healer, their savior in all things, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for doing that, Lord, and put peace and rest and calmness in Claire's heart. And I just thank you and I praise you for that in Jesus' name. And I'd like to say something I forgot to leave out earlier. I told my dad that I said, the reason you haven't had any bad effects from the two shots that you've already had is because I've prayed for you. And I know that's why you haven't had any bad effects, or anybody else that I know of that's gotten it, that they haven't had any bad effects from it. So I think that was just something that encouraged him too. So, you know, you can just speak faith to your parents, Claire, and I believe whatever it is they're not feeling good about right now, it's not the jab. It's not the jab in Jesus' name, because the Lord answers before we call, and yet while we're speaking, he hears, you know. So with God, there is no time. And
amen.
Doesn't make a difference in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Lana. Y'all, watch your ears. Gabe may be hollering.
I have a prayer request. My husband and I have an acquaintance in that I knew from my childhood in Minnesota. They married and moved out of state, and he came back this weekend to work on a job. And she shared on social media that overnight when he had arrived into Minnesota, he suffered a stroke. And this, we're talking about a 40-year-old guy. And because he suffered it in the middle of the night, he had no medical care all night long and was not taken to the hospital until morning. And it's too late for any sort of stroke treatment. They've basically just sedated him and incubated him, is what she says. And by her statements, she is believing that the only thing that can save him now and restore him is God. And she declares that in her social media message. So I just wanted to lift them up in prayer. I'm not quite sure how to pray besides, you know, commanding healing and commanding the side effects of stroke off of him. So if y'all could pray for him and believe that the Lord will hear their prayers. His name is Boris, and her name is Alla. And they're believers, as far as I know, praise the Lord.
Okay. Lord, we lift up Boris to you. You know the situation there. Lord, I know that you don't deal in distance or time. And in the name of Jesus right now, we come against this stroke and the effects that it has put into Boris's body. Right now, we command his body to be healed in the name of Jesus. We command the effects that the enemy has put on him to be null and void right now in Jesus' name. We bind up the works of the enemy against him right now and command you to get your hands off of him and leave him right now. We command his body to be completely healed everything reversed that was taken from him the night it happened. And we praise you, Father, that Boris is completely healed. Lord, we ask and we pray that you give his wife, Olive, faith to believe, Lord, that it is done. And Boris will come up out of that bed of affliction, healed, delivered, and preaching the word. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for Boris. In the name of Jesus. Anybody else? It's done, right? Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Another good testimony from the family of Boris and Ola. Is that right? Yeah. Ola. Y'all know that God can heal long distance, don't you? He can do it. He did it with the centurion. It was the centurion's servant. Just tell him we prayed, he's healed, and go to praising God for it because it's done. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I just had a question for Lana. Did Boris get the jab?
I do not know for a fact, but based on what I know of the family and how outspoken they are regarding their faith, I'm going to say it's safe to assume that he probably did not.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in Boris right now, Lord. And I agree with Michael's prayers and everybody's prayers related to binding this, the effects of this stroke and casting down those curses in the name of Jesus. I also, Lord, ask that you would open up Boris's eyes and give him insight, heal his mind, heal his heart, bring scripture to his mind that he can think on while he is in this state, Lord, and bring a revelation of the truth of healing, the truth of your authority over him and the authority that you've placed in him by translating him out from under this kingdom of darkness. Lord, we just ask that you would bring healing into his mind and into his heart and square up any areas that where the devil might have some sort of loophole or foothold in his life to afflict him in this way. We thank you for your victory. We thank you for your blood and your cleansing us from our sin, taking our sin away from us, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Geneva.
I have another prayer request, but also a little testimony. I have some cactuses outside because any other plants I have will die because I'm not good with plants. So cactuses I do well with. Need water. anyways, so I one day was messing with it and I poked my finger and it was my thumb. It hurt really bad. And I was like, man, I didn't know if there was like a thorn in there or something. And so I was just like, well, Lord, I was like, I'm not even going to try to pick at it. Just get it out. And I'm not even going to worry about it. Well, like 2 months went by and every time I touched my thumb, it still kind of hurt. And I could see there was like a little dot. I could see where it was like still kind of in there. So one night I was just like, Lord, like just show me how to get this out because this is like irritating. And so I was messing with it or whatever. And then, I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just like taking my fingernail to it and just kind of going at it. And I just took deep breath and I was like, all right. I was like, thank you, Jesus, it's going to come out. And all of a sudden this tiny, I don't know if you've ever gotten like a cactus splinter, but they're different than like normal splinters. But a little tiny sliver came out of like that little cactus thorn. And usually they say that there's like, if you get a cactus thorn, there's like, it's never just one. It's always like four or five because they're so small and they're grouped together. And I was like, oh man. And I could feel in my finger that it was hurting in other spots too. And I was like, gosh, I was like, you know what, Lord? I was like, I got this one out, but I was like, I'm gonna give the rest to you. And my thumb is going to be fine in the morning when I wake up in Jesus' name. So I went to bed. And next day I woke up, my thumb where I was picking at it for that whole time was completely healed up. And there was no pain anywhere in my finger. And like, you couldn't even tell because I'd been digging, you know, like you would kind of like with like a tweezers or something like that. I'd been digging at it. It was like completely healed up. And I was like, wow. It was completely fine. So I've been touching it nonstop and I'm like, feels like normal thumb again. So thank you, Jesus. Thumbs up. So that was something I wanted to say the other night. But also just want to thank the Lord for me being comfortable because the baby is growing and I am at week 30 and she is just moving all the time, always moving. Thank you, Lord. Moving with joy. And I right now find myself having a hard time trying to like get comfortable and like lay down and stuff like that. But I just want to thank the Lord for comfort and thank him that she is a healthy baby and you know that it's all good things and that I'm not short of breath or anything of that sort and that I can sleep well and I can set up and you know, I have energy in that because everyone's like, oh man, just wait till you're almost due. You're going to be so tired. You know, all these things they want to say. And I'm like, well, I don't claim that because the Lord, you know, took all that stuff from me. And just like 1 Timothy 2:15, you know, like I've been believing for, I'll be saved in child birthing or whatever. And I believe that just for all those symptoms, all that stuff has to go away in Jesus' name. Because I've really had a blessed pregnancy and no nausea, like no throwing up, none of that stuff. Like God has just made it great. And, you know, I'm believing that all the way to the end till she's born. And I'm going to keep on believing even after that. So I just want to thank the Lord for his comfort and that I can get around just as I need to in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Geneva, keeping her comfortable and let that baby come out when it's supposed to. And her and the baby be just so cool and be a quick delivery. Just squirt right out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's see. Anybody else? You was talking about that, Geneva, it brought up just the other day. I got a splinter in my right hand and I can't do anything. You know, I have trouble with my left hand trying to dig it out. And I'm a wimp when it comes to pain. And I caught Eve. Eve was a nurse. And I said, can you get those out for me? She said, yeah. She said, you got some tweezers? I said, yeah, I bought some tweezers. Gave them to her. I cannot tell y'all that this woman has no heart. She dug in that hand like it was a surgeon, like it was 4 foot deep in my finger. I mean, yeah, just like that. And I said, I'm screaming and I'm holding my, what in the world are you doing? But she finally got it out. But boy, I'll tell you what, the pain was terrible. Of course, I murmured and just was a big baby, just a big baby. But boy, it was painful, Rhea. It was so painful. Lord of God, I wanted to ever. That first pain hit me, you know what men think. Don't you never, ever do that again. But I let her get it out. She got it out. Praise the Lord. And then it healed up real quick after that. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless Eve with a little more bedside manner, too, in Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else? What is this Matthias Clay? I know not the name. Go ahead, Pat. Isaac, go ahead. You can explain this. Explain yourself.
I felt the need to. That's Justin and Lacey's baby boy. Boy, beautiful. We actually went and spent about 2 days with them.
And right? I bought a baby Matthias.
Yep. And so we just hung out with them for a while. They're doing real good. They didn't mean to get on here, but, you know, they got quite a few kids running around. So they get a little busy and work and all that. They'll be on here soon to show y'all.
Okay, that'd be awesome. We'd love to see those children. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
When was he born?
He was born on the 20th. November
20th. Oh, wow. So it's been a little while. Almost a month now.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Pat, did you have something?
Yes, I did. It was kind of on a personal level, but I've had this numbing of my toes for, I don't know, probably over a year. And it just, the ends of my toes are kind of sensitive or whatever. And I stubbed my big toe yesterday walking down the stairs or walking around the wall or corner or something like that. And I got to looking at it, and my big toe is like the toenail is like coming off, or not coming off, but it's like dark or whatever, it's weird looking. So I just want prayer for that. I've been dealing with this for the last year, praying and trusting the Lord. And actually,
how long have you had your shoes?
Well, I've had shoes probably a good 70 years now.
No, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I meant to ask, the shoes that you got, are they the right size?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Ooh, 70 years. That's an old pair of shoes. You might all think about getting you a new pair.
I actually did.
Okay. All right, we'll pray. You go ahead and pray. We'll believe with you.
Father, what I wanted to say, though, is in because of that, I never really thought of it. I was kind of battling it on my own and, you know, trusting the Lord. And I didn't know whether I should bring it up or whatever, ask for prayer. And there was a conversation here a month or so ago about foot washing. When somebody mentioned something about that, I thought, you know what? I would almost feel like embarrassed or something, because I have it's like the toenail's getting dark. And then I thought, you know, is that something that the Lord is humbling me in some way to bring that, you know, to bring that out in me or whatever. I don't know. So anyway, I leave it up to the Lord to show me and teach me. But anyway, I bring it up and present it to the body because I want healed from this situation, and trust the Lord to take care of it. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've promised us in your word that by the stripes of Jesus that we were healed. And I thank you. I claim that, stand upon that. I thank you, Lord, that we don't not only couldn't do anything about it if we wanted to, but we're not supposed to do anything about it except trust you for your provided healing. And I thank you for that in your word, Lord. So I just also come before my brothers and sisters and confess it and ask for prayer and strength and just to rest upon your word and trust you for your healing as you provide it through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that his feet are healed. Feet, be healed in Jesus' name. All discomfort, leave. Everything that's not of God, you leave his feet right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that his feet are perfect from this point on. We thank you, Lord, he's not going to experience any kind of unusual whatever. And he's got pretty feet, in Jesus' name. Amen. Unlike Rehan and mine. Amen.
I'd like to pray too.
Let's go ahead, yeah.
Lord, I was just thinking as we were talking here that how you always heal every single time. You have not failed us yet. And therefore, if you do not get tired of us praying in faith, then we will not either. So in the name of Jesus, Father, we come to you again and we stand on your word that says, by the stripes of Jesus, Pat's toe has been healed. And we command that toe to align with what happened at the cross. You've done it for me, Lord, and my toe, which is why I can say that all toes are covered by the blood. Lord, and I thank you, Father, for this trial of faith and for Pat to literally keep walking in it and not walk by sight, but walk by faith. And Lord, you've given him so much faith and we're so grateful for it, Lord, and shown that the trial of the leaking sink. And we command that nail now as well to get in line and for it to be perfectly restored in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
And I command all blood circulation to be perfected, because it is indeed the blood of Jesus that is running through Pat's veins. He has been transformed. Yeah. He is a new creation. And we do not accept numb toes. We do not accept Amen. Numbness. We are not numb. We are alive with the power of the living God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes, I believe it. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Pat. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's done. Is that Greg? Come sliding in here. Hi, Greg.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon.
Amen.
And if you put your feet on the mountain, Pat, and they bring good news, they're beautiful.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? We'd have a foot washing on here, but that's going to be a little bit awkward. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Yeah, Rhea or Claire.
I just have a really short testimony, and it's very, very cool, because this is what the Lord will do, right? So we live in the back end of nowhere, and it's hard to get anything at the best of times. But when it was the Black Friday sale, I admit I did dabble because I needed things for my school and stuff for the next year. Dabble. So I placed a few orders here and there. But I was very frugal, and I asked that once everything gets delivered to a specific store, that they would let me know, and then I could just, make a plan to get up that way once and get all the stuff in the car, and that would be fine. It's not a great deal of things, but it's what you need. And so everything was arriving, and we don't plan to go up the coast again. Tomorrow's our last day. Then we're not going to go up until like way after all the festivities and stuff. And this one thing wasn't arriving. And I just, every time I was like, I'm not going to believe that it hasn't arrived. I'm just going to believe that it's going to be there and the Lord is going to do it. And this morning, it's still, I get these little updates. I'm sure all of you do from your postal people. Oh, it's here. Oh, it's there. And I didn't get anything about this package. And I was like, oh, I really don't want to have to go up next week just for this one thing. And anyway, I just got a text now to say, it's arrived and you can come collect your order. And I'm so grateful because this is all working out so well. The Lord is so good to give us a break from having to go up as far as we normally do for the things we need. So praise God for working it all for the good for those who love him. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Anybody live in Tasmania anyway? Yes. If God sent you there, he's going to take care of you. That's right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? I've never met anybody from Tasmania before. Yo, man. Have y'all? Okay.
We've met a few.
Yeah. Well, since you've been there, anyway. Amen. Oh, good gracious. This is awesome. All right. What y'all want to talk about? Okay, I got something to talk about. Y'all had your chance. You missed it. Look up. Let me think, I got it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And I'll read it. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. Casting down of strongholds, remember that. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. My question is this. Well, it's not actually a question. I've heard in the past that casting down strongholds is bringing down principalities, powers, and rulers in the air. Have y'all ever heard that? Okay. Is that what he's talking about here? Now, if you remember what I said when I read this.
Strongholds in the mind, believe.
Well, that's what it said, wasn't it? Casting down of strongholds, then comma. Is that a comma or a period? No, that's a comma. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God. That's the wrong thinking that we've been putting into our minds about our walk with Christ. That doesn't have anything to do with principalities, because principalities, powers, and rulers of the air are underneath us, aren't they? That's what Jesus said. He's underneath my feet. If he's underneath his feet, we're the body, they're underneath us. We ain't got to worry about the principality. He's talking about what he's talking about here in my, what he's saying here is, I believe that he's talking about the things that we have put into our minds that is against the word of God. That we've allowed religion and that kind of thing to put in there. What do y'all think? And I just want to open it up, throw it out there.
I agree 111%.
All right, Isaac. Go ahead, brother. Here comes the answer.
I was just going to point out something real quick. Verse 5, you see where it says, casting down imaginations. I don't know in y'all's Bible, but my Bible has like a little one there. So if you look down, at the bottom near at the bottom you'll see the footnote, and mine says reasonings. So I think seems like exactly what you're saying, you know, whether it be religious reasonings or personal reasonings. I mean, the list goes on, but it makes sense to me.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Pat.
I was, when you said that, I was thinking of that scripture in Ephesians 4. It says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And I did kind of a little word search on that, neither give place to the devil. And that the word for place, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember right, is, I think it's topos. Actually, I have the technology here. I could probably find that out myself. Give place, give opportunity. It figures topos, yes. Which is a geological term or something like that? Has to do with like map making, topos, topography. And so when Paul's saying, neither give place to the devil, we in the physical realm, we have a place where, you know, we have a house or a home or a street or whatever is an actual place, a physical place, but the only way we can give place to the devil is in the spiritual, in the thought life, or in a place in our mind or a place in our thinking or our soul or something like that. And it's just as strong as a place in the physical, because the devil is a spirit, obviously, and he rests or resides or can attach himself or rest or come to a place, a position or a position of influence, which is a spiritual place, not necessarily a physical place. Matter of fact, as I'm sitting here talking about it, I know that probably a lot of you have had examples where you've had neighbors or whatever of houses they call houses that were haunted or something like that, where some sort of spiritual activity was happening in those places, in those houses or whatever. Which we actually, when Kathy and I first got married and moved to Oklahoma, we moved into a neighborhood that evidently had that type of activity in the houses around us. And when we moved into our rental place there in that neighborhood, we went through the house and we prayed in every one of the rooms and basically dedicated our house. We didn't know anything about, we're in the particular flavor of religion we were in at that time, we didn't realize that we had the authority to cast out demons. So we just dedicated the house to the Lord. And we had neighbors that came over like through the, year or two later, asking us if we had seen anything or experienced any kind of, spiritual things happening in the house. And no, we never did. And they all did in their houses. My one neighbor had a snake crawl out of their toilet one day. So I don't know. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, that is real scary. But and found snakes under the beds and all kinds of weird stuff, but you know, and breaking windows and stuff in the middle of the night and whatever. But we never had any of that problem. But the point I was making is those, I don't believe for a second that a spirit or a demon or whatever actually is in a house, or, you know, maybe it is, I don't know. I don't personally believe that, but I think that if people believe it, there's an influence there and an opening and whatever that those spirits can rest upon that belief, shall we say, and manipulate certain events or certain things. But anyway, I say all that to say that I believe what Michael is saying about that, that it is a place of thinking or thought or something in the spirit like that within our mind, that the Lord wants us to cast down those imaginations because they give a point of influence for the devil to use in our life in whatever form that would be. So it's all my, well, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, the strongholds that you're going to see that God wants broken down is wrong thinking about the word of God. God doesn't heal anymore. God doesn't do this anymore. God doesn't do that anymore. He wants that torn down and built back around the word of God. Go ahead, Rion.
Yeah, I was looking at that verse, and Claire and I were talking that it's we are told to have the renewed mind of Christ. And then before you come to Christ, your mind is obviously not renewed. So it's full of thoughts that are not the thoughts of Christ. And this is a reminder, this verse is a reminder to me to keep on kind of inspecting yourself or making sure every thought has to be captured, as in has to be taken hold of and go interrogate it. Go, is this thought from Christ or is it still the old flesh? And then sort it, you know, to go, no, you go away, or yes, we can keep it. And it kind of reminded me, we were talking this morning with the kids again, going through the kind of the Christmas lies, as we like to do. And there was another thought that came up, to, oh, when they say, they sing Holy Night and they say the angels appeared at night, but that the thought that came to me was, does it actually say that in the Bible? We've got to keep on checking these things. And that's with everything, right? We've got to keep on checking. Is that because of what I was taught or because everything I've seen that this actually happened at night, or is it not? I know it's not that important, but it's still, we have to look at the truth of the Bible. And I don't want to debate whether the angels appeared at night or not, but we're looking at all of that. We're just interrogating every single thought and making sure that it is the truth and making sure that it is aligned with the word, and everything else needs to be cast down. Everything needs to be thrown out and needs to be renewed. We have to look at everything with a renewed mind.
Amen. That's right. And when you renew your mind, you're renewing it with the word of God, and you're building a stronghold around yourself with the word of God in there. And that's what you want to do. You want to build that stronghold around the word of God so you'll have it and recall it when you need it.
That's right. So you break down the old strongholds, you build a new stronghold, and you're making sure that within your stronghold, everything else gets chucked out, just thrown out, because that's the whole point of a stronghold, is that the enemy mustn't get inside.
Yeah. Amen. Fill it up. Do y'all know what, does anybody in here know what neuroplasticity is? That comes from an Arkansas boy. No, neuro, like brain, neuroplasticity.
Where do we do, we order that off of Amazon or what?
Yeah, you can get it right at Amazon. Well, no, it's actually, there's a lady that goes around, and I learned this just here recently, studying some other stuff here. A woman named Caroline Leach. She's a doctor of neurology. I said the brain for y'all in California and Texas and Kentucky. Anyway. Well, I made some friends then, but anyway, it's a Judy, behave yourself and forgive. Anyway, neuroplasticity is the place in your brain where, and I'm just looking into it, so I'm probably getting a lot of it wrong, but it's where you recall, and you have places in your brain where you let's say you're talking about healing, and you're talking about a certain kind of healing. You know, over here, you got something with hospitals or doctors about healing in your brain. But when you start talking about another type of healing and it brings it together with the other type, and this is very complex for me, but what it all boils down to is this. The more you put into your brain, the more you put into your brain from the Word of God, the more you'll be able to recall it. And it'll hook itself together. If you go into a topic, let's say, pick anything. You go into a topic and you research that out. Well, I bet there's some chat going on down there now. In that, when you, yes, thank you, Sunil. See, there's somebody else in here that's got a little. Well, I won't say. Here's what Sunil said. This is exactly right. The ability of the brain to rewire itself according to patterns of thinking. No, it's Leach, L-E-A-C-H, I believe. Is that right, Sunil? Anyway, she goes around to Christian churches and talks about it. And it's really pretty fascinating stuff about how the Word of God associates in the brain and connects to, okay, it could be. Attaches different thought patterns together and just creates a stronghold, so to speak, and a recall and all this kind of good stuff. Anyway, that's, I'm kind of messing it all up, so now I'll probably talk a little more about it. I'm just looking into it. The thing is when you get in the Word, you study the Word of God, it goes in there and it just stays in there. And you're building a stronghold around it. Once you start acting on the Word also, that solidifies that memory bank in there. It's not memory that we have trouble with, it's recall that we have problems with. But the more you study a subject, the more you'll be able to recall that subject or that topic. Yeah, Pat. Anyway.
That thing that Sunil mentioned about rewiring the mind. And I was just, because I flipped that in the chat about the second part of that verse that you put in there, Michael, about casting down reasonings and every high thing that's exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And what that, I think that neuroelasticity, it's the first time I think I've heard that term, but what I think about when I hear that and rewiring is repentance. Because, you know, God give our brain, you know, give us a brain that has memory, and we work things into our life through habit and repetition and that sort of thing. And then we kind of put it in cruise control and kind of rest in those things, and they kind of happen automatically. And I think the same thing happens in our thought process. That's why when certain conditions are satisfied in our life, somebody cuts in front of us on the freeway or whatever it is, and the first thing that wants to pop up is anger, you know, because there's a pattern that's already been grooved into our mind to respond in certain ways to certain stimulus. And the whole concept, obviously, of sanctification is taking those things that already exist in our mind and in our thinking, reevaluating them, like Rion is saying, and kind of running them through the Word of God and and repenting and choosing to place those thoughts however they seem and place them under an obedience of the truth in Christ. And I think the exciting thing about it is it's not just, it is that mechanism that is happening within us. You know, there's a principle, you know, you see something in God's word and it doesn't happen to be the way you're thinking. And there's a process of you have to change that. But the exciting thing is in Hebrews, I think, 4:12, the word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful, and it has the ability to break down those patterns. You know, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And so that living word, as we take it into our mind and our heart and we think about it, it's actually alive in there, and it's kicking out, and it's, you know, punching things around and changing those thinking patterns. And so I believe it becomes more of a process of us just learning to agree with that word, mm-hmm. and let the word of God put it under captivity, and simply, you know, let the word of God live in us, and then obey that word and cooperate with it, I guess is the thought. So I think that's kind of an interesting topic you brought up there, Michael.
Well, one of the parallels to that, they gave this. This thing to look at, they said this. It said, men and women think of their bodies differently. You know, women, they'll have something that they don't like in their body, and they'll say, oh man, I wish I didn't have that, something like that. Or whatever it is, it makes no difference. And of course, a man, they just slough it off, you know, I deal with it, you know, and that kind of stuff. But a woman, it's real, you know, it's something that they don't like, and they'll curse it. And what happens is that the brain hears that, takes it down into the spirit. Everybody has cancer cells in them. You know that, don't you? And what happened, but they're not activated. And what happens is when we speak a curse against some part of our body, makes no difference where, you speak a curse against it, then you've activated that cancer cell. This is from the doctor. I don't know, but I'm sure it's probably she got a little bit of sense about that. But anyway, that cancer cell goes to work. So the thing that she was saying is, do not speak anything but the word of God on yourself or anybody, because it has consequences. And if somebody else, you hear some, oh, they got cancer, well, you just activated it more for that person. And it made a lot of sense to me that what we speak has a lot of power, just like the word says. What you speak. I remember one time Kenneth Hagin was talking about in this little town that they lived in. There was a guy in there, that this man in there, he never talked bad about anybody, never did. And the bully of the town, everybody hated. They hated his guts because he bullied everybody come around him. He's arrogant. He was fighting all the time with him, bullying over. And he got shot by the sheriff one day. And they were all talking about it. And this guy comes up and they were talking about it. But what do you think about all this guy getting shot, the bully getting shot? And he thought a minute. He said, you know, he had pretty blue eyes. Turned around and walked off. That's the way we ought to be, you know. Speaking blessings instead of curses. And that's what I was getting to. Go ahead, Rhea.
So there's significance in what you're saying, or hearing you saying, is that if this doctor is saying that we've got this plasticity in our minds. Not a doctor, sorry. This
expert,
this person is saying this. We often talk about, we've got the blood of Jesus running through our veins, right? And we imagine that it's the same blood that ran through Jesus's veins. This is the life of the flesh is in the blood, and we try and imagine that. But what you're saying then is if our brains can rewire and it's got a physical manifestation, it must be some way that they're looking at this going, it's physically changing, that if we renew our minds with the word, that our brains can then look literally or physically be the same as the brain that Jesus had.
Bingo!
Right? We can have the same mind, to have the, not just have the mind of Christ in faith, but you can, if you do that long enough, fill it up, that stronghold is exactly the same stronghold that Christ had, because that's what he did, is he renewed his mind as he was growing up as well. He grew in wisdom, grew in stature, which means he was building that brain. He was wiring his brain, and that's the same way we shoot. Oh, my goodness. That's pretty cool.
Wait a minute. Now, you hit on something now that I know about, too. Remember Adam, don't you? Had the same makeup as God.
He was creating the image makeup of God.
Come on with it. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. He had the same mindset as God until the fall. And here we are. We're down at the end of the gene pool.
But the good news is.
Yes. Go ahead. But what Jesus said. Jesus said, the works that you've seen me do, you're going to do, and greater works, praise God, forevermore. So you're exactly right. We can have the same mind as God. Isn't that awesome? Go ahead, Isaac. Add on to that one, brother.
Well, that's a tall order. I just wanted to say that you're talking about that, and something I heard a long time ago, it made sense to me. In the church we used to go to way back in the day. And the pastor always said, what gets in the head gets in the body. And that's a true statement. You know, it's a true statement, whether it's in a apostate religion or whatever. it can be true for politics. It can be true for all that. And but what gets in the head gets in the body. And that's, you know, and, you know, something when Pat was talking about the word is, I might butcher this, but bear with me. The word is active and sharper than a two-edged sword, or alive. Active, alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. My dad told me something a long time ago when I was a kid. He said, you know why it's seen as a two-edged sword? I said, no, Dad, why is that? He goes, because a two-edged sword, now you think about the way the two-edged sword is. The purpose of it is it cuts in and then it cuts out, right? You never really cut like that, just not physics. You know, when you swing, you're doing that. So it cuts in and cuts out. So that goes on to say with the renewing of the minds, you know, getting those strong, building up that stronghold. You cut in with the word and you cut out the worldly ways. I just wanted to add that.
Amen. That's good. Thank you. Amen. That's right. You get rid of the old and put the new in there. Bless God. And you got another wall going up after you done kicked out all the garbage. All right. Anybody else? What do you think, Andrew?
Well, I always used to use that verse to get temptations out of my head. So, I use that verse and plus the one about stepping on serpents, you know. So there's attacks always on people. And, you know, you could convince yourself in defense. Maybe that's why I'm not losing any weight anyway. but you know, I don't really get to do a lot of stuff or go outside and exercise. I'm retired, you know, so I think I can gain a few pounds, can I? Anyway, but you shouldn't say things like that because that's wrong, you see. So, but when you want a correction for false doctrine or something, that's another thing too, you know. Like when they talk to you about Christian nation, and I've heard recently some people who would have said, "Whoa, yeah, America's a Christian nation, and you know, it's a lovely nation, and it took the gospel to many nations in this world." But some of those people who used to say Christian nation are actually saying, no, it's not a Christian nation. It never was, you know. So they're changing their mind and their theologies, some of these Christians that are suddenly realizing things aren't the way they're supposed to be for a Christian nation. And, you know, the iron had to continue from the time of Rome to what's coming next, the iron and clay. And really, you know, it has, you know, every nation is building its empire, including like even Canada. You know, there was a bunch of other people here before the Europeans got here. So every capital was like those first two capitals of that iron nation, Rome and Constantinople, and of course they fought with each other. When they declared themselves Christian, they split their empire into the East and West, and then they declared themselves Christian, and then they fought with each other. So, you know, if you were to suddenly tell people, well, Satan's in your church, I think a lot of church people would be offended. But then again, that's what the Apostle John said. Three out of the seven churches in the first century, it's actually mentioned that Satan's in there. So, and they had things that God liked and they had things that God did not like. all of the things that God did not like has to come from somewhere. So, people have known that some clergy in the pulpit have committed adultery and things. And some of them even come on TV, profess an apology. And it's wonderful that they would do that, to know that they were wrong and to dismiss their ministry and not take the pulpit anymore. But did they really come to the root of the problem? Why did this happen? You would never expect it from a person who's in the pulpit of the clergy. So there's something more there. And they never think that perhaps it might be false prophecy or bad doctrine. And that's why this happened. Because if God's going to deal with us, he's going to deal with us with his left hand and his right hand. And we ate that. Well, we didn't eat it, but it was Adam and Eve had one commandment. They ate the fruit of good and evil. So at the right hand is the fruit of the good and the leading vessel of honor is there. And at his left hand is the evil and the leading vessel of dishonor is there. And God sometimes deals with us with both hands. So why else would he deal with even a clergy person like this, unless there was something wrong, seriously wrong? You know, and how many, he's got this spirit on him of adultery, and how many people has he infected before he actually admitted it? So that's a serious item for just discussion on items that, you know, like if there's only one mind to Christ. So, and the mind is part of your name, and the name of Jesus is the Word of God. So we abide in that. So we can't have several opinions of our own. You know, how would God deal with a person? For instance, here's something that you can throw in. How do you deal with people who are dealing with other people, like being weak to the weak? You know, it almost seems like you're doing something wrong there. You know, but what you're trying to do is gain this weak person so that he could maybe even receive salvation and move on from there. So, at present, you know, my kids came over. My daughter's telling me about her Christmas tree that she's going to buy. So, you know, I still had some Christmas decorations. And I said, how about we put this out? It'll only take us 5 minutes, you know. So I put it out. And it's sitting there right now, you know, waiting for them, hopefully, to come over and might be able to discuss that little baby in that manger holding his hands open. You know, come and get me. That's what I said. And you know, it's a sign of something to come, you know. And it's like a comic book, but little figures to me that are supposed to teach you about what's written in the book, you know. And that's me being weak to the weak. So they'll be over here, and the 26th, it's going away. And, being weak to the weak, I went and got Christmas cards this year. You know, I did it every other year, and I usually put a Bible verse in it. And this year was Ephesians 3:20, you know, and that's a real powerful verse, I find, because, it's Jesus saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." And Well, that's your whole fellowship with the Lord right there. And it's an opening for salvation. And one year I even wrote out a few, and you don't really get anything sometimes back, you know, because the strongholds are strongholds on these people. So sometimes, you know, you could get thinking, well, maybe I'm not supposed to do this, you know, and then you go, what if I did something wrong? Well, no, I'm not going to go for that. I don't think the Lord wants you second guessing yourself, but he does want you to get really serious on the more difficult matters, like it says, not to judge too quickly, you know, the Romans 14:13, that you're actually supposed to judge and not judge. It's in the same verse. And that's, you know, it's like when Paul taught against circumcision, and then he goes and circumcises Timothy, you know, right after he taught about that, you know. So, you know, I'm not questioning Paul, of course. I'm just saying there's a reason for some things sometimes. But these are not any immoral aspects that I'm talking about, you know, like adultery or something like that. That's a serious offense. And it's almost like, wow, that's pretty big spirit there, you know. And it really, I've been asking the Lord lately just to humble me a lot. You know, just to get me to get that yoke on real tight. And if I said anything wrong, I ask the Lord to take it out. And for people not to be confused about that. And praise God. Glory to God.
William, you got something you'd like to share?
Yes. Yeah, it's good to be with you, brothers and sisters, tonight. You know, I'm down here in Kansas right now, Wichita. And, speaking of that neuroplasticity, you know, I've been doing some studies on that. I've got a lot of time on my hands right now. And, we talk about strongholds, and it's talking about in the minds, not the principalities and powers that rule over certain areas, but we're talking about strongholds in the mind. And also, I don't know if it was mentioned, but it's not only the thoughts and the imaginations, but see what comes with that are the feelings and the emotions. The emotions, and then what comes after that is the actions. So we're talking about growing in Christ. Paul saying, I pray until Christ be formed in you. That's pretty powerful. I pray and travail until Christ be formed in you. And we hear, let this mind be in you that's right. So we see that how important it is, or I definitely am. How important it is to renew my mind, and I mean diligently. There's a process the Lord's taking me through right now, because if it has to do with the neuroplasticity, which means that the mind is being rewired, because see, the enemy is cunning, the most cunning beast in the field. So if my mind's like a computer, and the bottom line is I'm running on my mind is running on a software that was put in me when I was young, you know, whether by the media or whatever, you know, because they do say that while a child is between 2 and 5 and 6, that's when he is programmed on a powerful level. you know. So I'm running out of program built on fear. You know, there's the emotions because of lies, which had distorted my perception and how I see things. So anyway, to sum it up for me right now, the Lord is mighty. And there's nothing that he cannot do. Now, my mind will try to tell me on the contrary. See, that's why a lot of times in my earlier walk in my 20s, you know, praying for people, I had a lot of thoughts of fear. You know, what if I'm rejected? What if this and that? So I was stunted a lot, you know. That's why I say the enemy is cunning. And, but the Lord is mightier. So anyway, in the meantime, I'm just going to continue renewing my mind because I'm, you know what? I'm so beaten and tired. I'm telling the Lord today, Father, this world has nothing for me. There's nothing here. I've tried to run to and fro, and I'm telling you right now, it's tiring, you know? And that's why I've been thanking them a lot for the rod and my staff, you know, because I'm the kind of child, see, you got one child like Johnny, and his dad tells him one time, boy, go clean your room. And he does that. Me, John, Billy, I told you to clean your room. Now, this is the fifth time. The next time I'm getting switched. Now, the Father chastens, dies them who we love. So, you know, I guess I'm a real love child. But it is vital that we renew our mind because it's more than just the thoughts, brothers and sisters. It's the emotions that come with it. And it's also the behaviors that result as a result of that. So if I want to have, say, the character of Christ, I have to be renewed. And I always wondered why, Father, man, I really want to walk like Christ. And I tried and tried and tried, and I couldn't do it. I tried. And see, I knew nothing about walking in the Spirit really, or how to achieve the things that bring me to that level. But see, what I'm renewing my mind with now is he's been given all power and authority. I'm in him and he's in me. We're the Father. We are one. We are the body. He has all power and all knowledge. And he lives in us. And he gives us his Holy Spirit that says, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. That's all truth. That means we have all truth in us. If we tap into it, or if we grow into that maturity. That's why the whole earth is even groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. But anyway, brothers and sisters, thanks for ministering to me tonight. And it's a pleasure being here and listening and getting to pray for one another. And I'm just, I'm highly blessed once again, because the fellowship of the body to me is more precious than gold. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, William. Yeah, William, that was good. We appreciate it, brother. All right. Yeah, Rhea.
I want to kind of add to that, William. Yeah, that was really good. And it reminds me of that experiment they did, I don't know when long ago, I don't know the details of it, but it was where they spoke these words over these molecules or shapes. It's the old one, I think everybody knows that, right? They spoke words like love and peace and things, and these crystals that they looked on the microscope formed into these beautiful shapes. And then when they spoke words like, you know, death and evil and whatever, it had all these like jagged kind of structures to it. And I was imagining that when we speak the word, you know, that's exactly what happens in our bodies, you know, with our molecules and structures and things. But now, you know, talking about the neuroplasticity, it happens in our brain. So the most powerful way then that I can imagine then is if you is combining what William said, is if you speak the word, but you add emotion to it, as in you, which is for me from the biblical perspective, the only emotion we need to add is faith and belief, right? That's the emotions that we add to it. That will have the biggest effect in renewing your mind. And then I thought, well, I wish they did that experiment with scriptures. I would have wanted to see what the shapes look like. And then also kind of like what they did with John G. Lake, if you speak in the spirit, what kind of structures would have come out then? And probably that would be, if we worship or praise even, and pray in the spirit and pray in tongues, we have to imagine that is renewing our minds as well. It's having that same effect on our mind.
Amen, brother.
Amen. That's exactly right. They did the same experiment with some plants. A Japanese scientist did that with some plants too. And the plants that he spoke blessings on, boy, they thrived. Then the ones he cursed, they just kind of wilted away. Yeah. That's kind of what happens when we do that. That's where the spirit of rejection comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a YouTube video. I remember them watching that. Yeah. I told my daughter about it and she practiced it and she said it worked. She did it with, I think, the strawberries. Put one in one bag and one in the other. So, she said all foul kind of things to the one strawberry and nice things to the other. And the one strawberry just rotted a lot quicker than the other. So it actually does work. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it also has to do with music too. You know, I heard about the music frequencies, because everything's frequency, that the music, when they did it with plants, was the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. The birds, when they chirp, it opens the flowers, eh? And when you hit those frequencies, it'll do it with the plants also. Yeah, with the music. Yeah.
What frequency is that? Oh, to be continued.
Talking to me or who you talking to? Talking to me?
No, he wouldn't talk to you. All right. Anybody got any
corn that grew 14 feet high?
Hey,
was playing certain music.
I had some last year. It was 20 foot high.
One more quick thing I'm going to add. It's real funny how David Rockefeller, now with a lot of these rock bands, he instructed from high up that they are to tune in this certain frequency level. And I remember a brother coming to a fellowship one time years ago, and he was really strong into music and about the frequency levels. And I heard from him about how David Rockefeller commanded a lot of these rock bands to tune to a certain frequency level. So there's a lot to that, you know, especially when it comes to praise. You know, there's, we need that music, you know. So music is vital. That's my point too.
Kanye West said the same thing when he released that one gospel album that he did, and that was one of the things he said. He said, "What people don't realize is that all the music is at a certain frequency, a certain beat, a rhythm to it that is, you know, from the enemy." Basically, is what he said. And he said that gospel album, not gospel, I suppose, yeah, that album that he brought out, he was adamant to have it different and to not have it at that at all. So yeah, I think there's definitely truth in that.
Amen. Is that 432 hertz is what it is, Isaac? Is the best one to have gospel music at? Huh?
I believe I've heard so.
I don't know about 430. I don't know. I was just making a nerd joke, then I've seen that.
Well, I've heard that frequency 432 before. I see Philip used to use that. They tune all their instruments to 432 to put it in that Jesus frequency. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not that tuned. Drummers don't listen to that kind of stuff. All right. Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful night tonight. We praise you, Father, for letting everybody participate. It was awesome. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I ask that you protect each and every one of us, Lord, and set a watch before our lips to speak only as the Word of God says. And not only that, Lord, keep our thoughts clean. Help us to cast down the vain imaginations. And Lord, help us to tear down the old strongholds and to build the new ones. And we thank you for it, Lord. We know that if we get in the Word and we stay in the Word and we keep staying in the Word, that's, and like Rion said, and praising you, praying in the Spirit, and talking in the Spirit to you, Lord, and whatever, it all helps us to build the kind of strongholds in our mind that you want, Lord, and that's the Word of God. And I thank you for doing that, Lord, and I praise you, Father, for placing in each one of us that gift and that decision and that desire to run after you with all of our heart. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Protect us. Give us a good night's sleep tonight. Let us wake up in the morning for those who are going to be going to bed here shortly and those who will be after a while, sometime today or tomorrow, ever what day it is in this world. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to protect us, be with us, and walk with us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good night, everybody.